swear to God damn it. Do not make that the stinger.
I will not make that the stinger.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it is a geeky boner episode. I'm not going to lie, we do spend a lot of time nerding out over Animal Crossing, but we do get to other stuff as well.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
That's a me, Italian.
And we got a little Peaches here. She's hiding. She's wedged in next to me under the table. For those of you who could see the video, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you just saw a little Peaches bit. But yeah. That's fine. Anyway,
I have no cats with me right now. I'm sad.
Yeah, it's super funny how the animals are getting snuggly lately, like sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes they're like, nah,
it's
I've had
too
enough.
Warm
here. But we are raging, tumescent, thick-veined, geeky boners.
Geeky boners.
Clank. Yeah.
Oh boy, I can't wait till we get there. Geeky boners episode, and as we recently had an episode where we all kind of talked about things we were doing.
Yeah.
And also we did an episode about Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
But also we are raging hard for Animal Crossing. I just thought maybe we could just sort of touch tips and just graze our boners against each other.
Okay.
And just real quick, let me know, what's your focus right now on Animal Crossing?
Just boners passing silently in the night.
Exactly.
Sure.
There's just so much to do. Nick,
before we get
to our boners, a little pre-boner.
Pre-boner action.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Nick, what are you doing in Animal Crossing mostly?
I'm like day 13 of what I anticipate to be a 20-day project because of the houses that I have to move to terraform and then move back and bridges and inclines that need to be destroyed. I have a large part of my island done where I've created like a long singular canal that separates my 10 animals' homes with 5 on each side.
Okay.
With bridges in between and stuff.
Jesus.
And I just put in the order to move my home today. I built a secret staircase that goes down to the hidden beach where Red meets you. So behind where my house will be tomorrow morning, there are 2 staircases that go down from the top level where you can build down to the beach. And the rest of the entrance to that is completely walled off by high cliffs and a river and a lake.
So the only way to go is to go through your backyard, basically.
To go behind the hidden entrance behind my house to get to the secret beach.
And you've been terraforming the shit out of it, right? Like you like moved all your trees, you built in all the cliffs and rivers.
At this point, the only inch of land I haven't terraformed on my island is where my house started, where it won't be tomorrow, where my plaza is, which you can't move,
mm-hmm.
and where my 2 stores are, which I can't move yet, but eventually they will be where my house is now.
And otherwise you've redone basically the
every
whole layout
inch.
Of your island.
Yep, every
That's
inch.
Crazy.
Yep.
That's
wow.
nuts.
Except for the parts you can't.
Wow.
That will not be my answer. But Tim, what have you been focusing on?
You know, and I'm like literally the opposite. I like really keeping my island natural, and it's kind of pissing me off to get the gold watering can. I have to like add a bunch of shit. So it's like right now what I'm doing is like adding 1 or 2 things a day to see if that gets me to a 5-star rating. Because as soon as I can get to that 5-star rating, I'm going to stop adding shit on my island.
That's
because I like to keep it. I like one of the things I did is I added like a Japanese garden, because that's kind of like a combination of natural and built. So I felt a little better about that. I really want to build a sculpture garden with the fake sculptures from Red. That's kind of my other – that's well, okay, this would be my other focus. It has been 2.5 weeks since Red's been on my island, and I'm getting a little pissed off about it.
Yeah.
A little pissed off because Red – the other thing that would be exciting me right now is I want to be able to go in and like – figure out what the real piece of art is.
Yeah.
And look at the art and figure out what's fake. I mean, you can find it all out on the internet. I mean, if you want to, but I'm not going to go to some spoiler site. No, I just want to go, all right, okay, so this is a work by Monet. I want to go find the original work by Monet and find out whether this is real or fake. And,
but I don't think there's anything stopping you from just buying them all.
Yeah. Well, you could just buy them.
How?
You can only buy one.
You can only buy one.
Yeah, you can only buy one.
I went over to Molly's Island and bought one after she bought one.
Right.
So
you can buy one from somebody else's island. I didn't know you do that. But the point is, I've only fucking seen Red once when he gave me the first piece of art, and once when the trawler showed up.
Yeah,
which was
and that's
fake.
It. No, I got a new one. I got a. I have two on real pieces of art.
Oh wow!
On the first, the first time the trawler showed up.
The second visit on both Molly and I's island, all four pieces were fake.
Well, that's fine because I will hang fake paintings in my house. But I can't get the trawler to show up again. I've started running through the art gallery every day. Like maybe if I appreciate the art I have, he'll show up sooner. I don't fucking know.
It's
random.
But
it's really, really pissing me off.
Well, he can appear at night. So he might not appear during the day, but like Celeste, he can show up at night.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. We just got to check that beach.
Yep. Well, I mean, I run by there all the time and I've never seen it.
And I think when he shows up, his map shows up, his little fan icon shows up on your map at the beach.
Okay. Well, I mean, every night while I'm engaging in my other boner, I'm usually like also running around on Animal Crossing, catching fish. Cause I just find that super zen and I enjoy doing it. So it's never been there cause I would have seen it.
My Animal Crossing thing that I'm doing is I very much am enjoying the clothes because I haven't designed a lot of stuff yet. I did design, we had an Animal Crossing costume contest at work.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
So I designed in Keyforge, there's this little fuzzy tentacled thing called a fuzzy Gruen. And they made plushes of him and everybody and everything. He's just like he's a very cute little guy. So I made a fuzzy Gruen dress and hat to try to make myself look like a Gruen.
It's really fun.
I really enjoy, I like to get every color of a thing. Surprising, no one autistic girl likes to get all of the one. But like, if I like a dress, I want it in all the colors. And then what I like to do, I change my outfit a lot during the day, but also right before I'm done playing for the night, I change into something so that the next morning I'm like, oh, right. Awesome. That's right. I was going to be Princess Hot Dog, you know, like that's or whatever. So that's kind of what I've been doing is with clothes. So now that we've just touched tips, I want to talk about the meat of your boner. Let's get into the real boners, the thick, girthy boners that our audience have come to demand the opportunity to suck on.
I know. They're so excited about it right now.
I do the best when it's boners. I do the best boner. I'm the best at boner talk.
Do you?
Yeah. So, that's Tim, you mentioned that you engage with your other boner.
It's true.
While you do Animal Crossing. So how are you wrestling two boners? What's your other boner?
Well, we started watching, I mean, we've got Hulu and Netflix and Disney Plus, and you know, we're kind of trying to find shit to watch, and we decided to start watching Burn Notice, and we've super gotten into it.
I love Burn Notice.
Yeah, it's an early 90s spy show.
No, 2000s.
You're right, early 2000s.
It's like mid-late 2000s because we were married when we watched it.
I think I looked it up and it started in like 2003 or something like that. But anyway,
that makes sense.
So and it's like seven seasons. So like 2003 to 2010. It's kind of like this interesting cross between like James Bond and MacGyver and a little bit of A-Team with a dude who used to be a spy and he got burned. And now he's trying to get back into the spy business. But while he's at it, he's just helping people who need his help.
Yeah.
In Miami.
A-Team is very accurate. Molly and I called it Spy-Guyver, but A-Team is a super accurate ad.
It is, because he's got his team, but it's always him who's kind of first, and then he's got to bring in the team, and it's always the same people, his ex/current girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the ex is like an ex-IRA bomber.
Yeah,
isn't she
an ex-bomb
maker for the IRA?
Yeah,
great.
Fiona is a great character. I enjoy her very much. And then the other guy, Sam, is played by Bruce Campbell, which, yeah, you know, from a nerd perspective, it's like, God damn it, Bruce Campbell. He's in like seven seasons of this show.
He's super charming in his Hawaiian shirts and his like vacation attitude.
And totally to Burn Notice. Totally like going through a series of older women.
Yeah.
Older wealthy women. Every season he's got like a new car because he's got a new girlfriend. Her mama.
It's very funny.
Yeah, there's nothing about it that's fantastic, but it's super entertaining. And the characters are fun, especially the secondary characters. Mm-hmm. His mom not so much. His mom's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But the main character, Michael, but especially like Fiona and Sam, they just, it's like, there's something that happens in every episode that you're like, ah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's why I love Fiona. That's mm-hmm. why I love Sam.
Have you and Pat watched Psych?
Yes. Not the whole series, but we've watched.
I think that's another show that I think you guys would enjoy. It's along the same lines of a team, and it's funny. And
Psych, like Burn Notice, I think Molly and I watched the first five seasons or so and then didn't watch the last few seasons.
Yeah.
But Burn Notice, like things that stick out in my mind from that show are creative outside the box thinking or pointing out little problems in people's, like there's an episode where he has to go confront a drug dealer or something who has this super beefy steel 3-inch core door.
Yeah.
And he walks up to it and he's like, yeah, this door isn't built in a frame that's also 3 inches thick. And he just pulls out his gun, moves a few feet off to the left, and just shoots into the door at an angle and just like shoots the guy through the wall. He's like,
shoots the guy in the leg. That's like the first episode. Second episode. Yeah, it's awesome. That dude shows up three seasons later.
Yeah.
It totally sets the tone for the whole super series. Good. Yeah.
That's great. Well, that's a fine boner.
Yeah, it's a good boner.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
It's a vintage boner.
It's a vintage boner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, it's an old boner like all of my boners are.
But it checks out.
What are you watching it on? Is it Hulu?
It's on
Netflix?
Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so check that out. If you want to feel like your boner is similar to Tim's.
If you know, that's something that's important
that's
to you, I guess.
That's a thing that people might do. Yeah. Nick.
Yo.
What's your boner?
So, a few boners ago.
Yeah.
My boner was the Brandon Sanderson series, the Mistborn series.
We shared a Mistborn boner
like,
for a while.
Yeah, like six books right now, but more eventually someday. And a couple friends I know that are fans of his in the series were like, oh, Cosmere, awesome. Well, what the fuck is Cosmere? Oh, it's the whole world in which, the whole universe in which Mistborn takes place. You should read those. You'd like them. So I read a couple of the standalone books, and then I took a Sanderson break and read some other stuff in some series that I've been reading. And then I came back to them to read kind of, I guess you could say maybe like Sanderson's Dark Tower series. Mm-hmm. Like it seems to be this is his like opus of fantasy. It's the Stormlight Archives, which is a part of the Cosmere series. It's the same universe as Mistborn, but a very different world or system or whatever. And I finished the first book in audio, which was The Way of Kings, which is a 45-hour audiobook.
Wow.
Yeah, it's beefy.
That's like longer than The Stand.
Yeah. And it has the same narrator as Mistborn, which I love the guy. I can't recall his name offhand, but he's a great narrator. And I'm on the second book, and I'm almost halfway done with the Words of Radiance, the second book. And it's super good. It has a lot of the same things that I really liked about Mistborn, which is a cool, I don't want to say magic system, but I guess you could say a magic system with rules that aren't necessarily known to the people in the books, or at least certainly not the protagonist in the case of Mistborn. And so as the person is figuring them out, so is the reader. One thing I really like about the Stormlight Archives compared to Mistborn is that Mistborn series has the same man narrating the whole series, despite the fact that Vin is a woman that's the protagonist to the first, the Mistborn trilogy, the original three books. So far, Stormlight has basically two protagonists with some like interlude character perspectives. And one is a dude and one is a woman. And so they brought in a woman to do all the narration for her chapters.
Oh, that's good.
And she's great too. She's a great narrator. They're doing accents for the different realm, the different like countries or realms within this world.
Cool.
I'm really super digging it. I feel like the first book was, I don't want to say like a 45-hour audiobook was all set up because a lot happened and it was definitely riveting and it definitely held my attention. But it, now that I'm halfway through the second book, it feels like the first book set up so many cool things that are starting to happen in this next book. And it makes me really excited to know that there are several books ahead of me. I'm also really glad that a friend of mine, David, had recommended that I read a couple of the standalone books, specifically Warbreaker, which is a standalone book in Cosmere. It takes place in a different world than either of these two series. But you find out that there's like a character that's been in all three of these books that is able to move between the worlds and stuff.
Oh, that's dope.
Doesn't necessarily go by the same name, but you recognize him. He's kind of a Randall Flagg.
Because he always describes him the same way.
Yep.
It's always, like with Randall Flagg, it's always like a tall, dark-haired man in jeans and eyes that burn like coal or whatever. Peg boots and yeah.
Apart from like the horror aspect and the writing style, I really think Stephen King is a very accurate description comparison for
Sanderson
for the Cosmere books, because
he's cranking them out.
he's prolific. He writes a lot fast. But in addition to that, the more Sanderson you read, the more the other books are enhanced.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
But they're not a requirement, and not reading those other books won't affect your enjoyment in a negative way. But knowing that this dude who's teaching sword fighting in the second book is a major character from this other book is fucking awesome.
It's a reward for the constant readers, but it's not a penalty for the people who haven't picked
100%.
It up. You're not like, I don't understand what's happening, but someone else is going, oh my God.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of that that on a much bigger degree
is
like the philosophy of all the magic and all of that is kind of interconnected between the different worlds, despite the huge differences.
That's awesome.
So yeah, Words of Radiance is what I'm reading now. It's the second book and it's fucking great.
It's funny you should mention that, because there was a new Stephen King book that came out, and in any other timeline, that would be my boner. But a series of unfortunate events led. So like, because I pre-ordered through Amazon, as I always do, which I did back in, October, right? That book wasn't going to come. So I was like a week and a half behind release date. This isn't my bonus. It's just a quick story. But I order Stephen King books sight unseen. I don't read anything about them. I don't want to know anything about it. I just get the book. And that has one time caused me disappointment when I ordered the book Elevation, not realizing that it was going to be about this big and about 50 pages long.
Huh.
And that was kind of like, oh, well, that's on me. This one.
A slow regard for silent things.
Right. This book I got, it's called If It Bleeds. So I didn't realize it's four novellas.
Huh.
I thought it was a really terrible book.
How many stories did it take you to realize?
Four.
Whoa.
I read the whole thing and then I looked it up online and I was like, this is the worst novel I've ever read. It makes no fucking sense. Like, I don't understand what they set up all this stuff at the Yeah. So I'm an idiot. And it's a fine book. The novellas are fine. I don't think they're great. I probably would have enjoyed them.
But they're probably better if you don't think they're all four parts of the same story.
Yeah, right. They probably are.
Yeah.
They probably are. If when it ends.
Both of these seem disjointed.
Yeah. And Nick can tell you, I kept being like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with him, but this is the worst novel I've ever read. And he's like, I'm so sorry, Dom. I'm so sorry. And then I'm looking up and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, it's four novellas.
But there is crossover with other stuff he's read.
There is. There is crossover with the Finders Keepers trilogy, the Mr. Mercedes, End of Watch, all that stuff, and with The Outsider. In any event, it's not my boner. My boner is baking. And that's probably not going to be my boner for much longer as it's finally starting to get hot here in Minnesota. But we had 30 degree temperatures like just last week at the end of April, early
Super
May.
Super fucking annoying.
Like, it's insane. But so because of the quarantine, I know a lot of people are doing more cooking and things like that. I've always cooked a ton. I cook for us. I cook dinner every night. If it's weekend, I cook. I do almost every night.
Nine times out of ten, Molly cooks.
Thank you. And so I cook a lot. I cook from scratch. That's like, so I've been doing that a lot too, but the baking is not something I normally do. Been a big baker. Baking is chemistry. Cooking is art. Like cooking, you just fucking throw shit in and you stir it. You taste it. Oh, it needs more of this. Let, you know, whatever. Baking is like, you got to get it right. You got to get it exactly right or it's ruined.
Yep. And I've alchemy.
Yeah. And I've baked a few times in the past. Like I've made like cream puffs and some other like things, but you know, I made macarons once, but like usually it's not something I do. But I've started, I baked 4 loaves of French bread at this point. I baked steel cut oatmeal cookies. I baked biscuits a bunch of times. Nick baked them the first time and then I used his recipe and kind of went from there. We've been just kind of like, and the one problem with just being 2 people is most recipes are to feed a lot of people. And so like I'll cut the recipe down as much as I can, but like if it calls for 1 egg, you're using 1 egg. And so like that's as much as you can reduce things, right? So we've been eating a lot of delicious baked goods. Like yesterday, like I made 18 cookies and this morning I was like, so there's 4 cookies left, which means we each ate 7 cookies last night.
Wow.
I mean, over the course of the day.
I don't blame because
I'm working from home, I can just like bake on my lunch break. And that's been kind of a nice thing.
Well, you set up in what would be the dining room attached to our kitchen, but that's where your office is set up. So you're like 12 feet away from the oven.
Yeah. Our dining room kitchen is one big room with no walls. And so it's really more of a Molly's office, cat wheel, bookshelf area. And then there's the kitchen and things. So it's been really fun. And I'm trying to look into more things that I want to do, but like, and I applied to be a baker on the Strike Theaters doing the online great strike improvised bake off. And I've been a judge several times on the stage show, but I promised myself last time that I would apply to be a baker next time it came up and I didn't get in this time, but I'm going to keep applying because I want to bake on that show. But it's something that I think is challenging and fun. And I really like kneading bread. It's very therapeutic.
Sure.
And I keep seeing people sharing recipes. It's like, no need bread. I'm like, but the kneading is
the good
part.
Who gives a shit, right?
Yeah. It's the best part. Like, you can really, like, work out some aggression, and it feels like you're just doing something. And there's just something to be said about, like, taking, like, raw ingredients and making, like, fucking bread. I don't know. There's just something about it that's, like, super amazing, and it's a long process. It has to rise, and then you got to redo it and make it into loaves, then it has to rise again, and, like, just really cool. I've just really been enjoying that and, like, trying to reframe. So, like, when you have an eating disorder, which I always will, when things feel out of control, one of the things that my brain tries to do is control what I eat, control food, control that as a way to feel like I'm in control. And like baking is a way to like, oh, well, but I have to eat 4 biscuits. Otherwise the biscuits will go bad.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, obviously.
Right. And so the rational part of my brain that's like, we have to do this and it's fine. Everyone's at home and not moving and eating biscuits. Like, so like it's just a really nice way to be like, I'm doing something, I'm creating something, I'm making something with my hands. And then also I have to eat it. And
control.
I have control over the fact that I'm making this stuff. And also I'm going to eat it all and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been weird. I feel like, it was funny when we talked about doing a Geeky Boners episode. And we were, because we would say, like, it's been a while since we've done one. And we were like, oh, it's true. And honestly, I think it's because we've our whole lives feel like hobbies now, right? Like, we're true. So, I know that Nick and I are both, we're finally starting. I mean, we love being home together. We love being at home and watching TV and doing like games and just hanging out. But like, even we are starting to get like bored. Like, I'm starting to get bored playing Animal Crossing. I'm starting to get, we've watched all the TV. Like, I just feel like it just starts, it's, we're starting to get.
At a certain point, regardless of how excited you are about the show or video game, you're still just sitting around watching TV or right. playing video games.
And we go for walks. We're lucky to live in a very spread out suburb, in a very, like, our neighborhood, everyone's really crammed together, but there's lots of walking trails and it's easy to be away from people and be outside. So that's great. I can only imagine those of you who live in like apartment buildings in busy cities where like New York, Chicago, where you literally, you can't go outside really at all for very yeah. long. But even that, I think because so much of life now, even we both have our jobs and we're still working 40 hours a week. It's just still hobbies. I just feel yeah. like it's so much of my life now is doing that, that it was kind of hard to come up with a geeky boner because I feel like everything we're doing is,
you know what I'm most excited about right now? We're going to have a new washer and dryer in 2 days. And that's got me super, super excited. That's a story. That's a story I'll tell on a different podcast because holy shit, the saga of the washer and dryer is just fucking insane. But we will have a new washer and dryer in a couple of days. And I can't wait.
That's very
exciting. It's a front-loading washer. I've never had a front-loading washer. Ooh, I cannot wait.
Me neither. Yeah. That's super fancy.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
I think that it's really, it's so fun. So in Minnesota, it's today is May 14th. We just found out that our stay-home order will expire on Monday, the 18th.
Ooh.
And the new restriction, no, it's fine. I think that we're the new thing is that we can get together in groups of 10 or fewer people. So I don't know a lot of people who are planning to do that.
Everyone's going to be reasonable and follow that.
Well, the people who aren't following it are just still not going to follow it.
Yeah, I don't know
anyone. People like us are still going to follow with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who's planning to like all of a sudden get together and have parties or whatever. But like at the same time, I think it's, you know, it's going to be hobbies are what's keeping us happy and sane right now. So let us know in the comments or on Facebook or whatever, like what are you doing right now? Maybe we all need new things to do. So like, what are you doing? Maybe
give us ideas.
Yeah. All right. That said, it's time for five questions.
Oh, five questions. Ready? That's exciting. This
five
is new.
Questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a new thing. Yeah. And this is a good set of five questions from Joshua Corwin.
Okay.
And Joshua says, I just finished listening to your cheery episode on COVID-19, which as we all know is quite the riotous subject. So here's some more questions. I'm keeping them a little lighter than the last few.
Oh, good.
This is five questions. Would you rather edition?
Oh, good. Ooh. That should be quick and easy.
So these are all would you rather questions.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Question one. Would you rather have a dog with a cat's personality or a cat with a dog's personality?
We already have Molly and I have had a couple of Bengal cats frequently they are described as the dogs of cats.
Trisket is definitely a dog.
Trisket will sometimes even play fetch a little bit. He's been known to play fetch.
He comes when you call him.
He greets you at the door when you come home. A cat with a dog's personality is fucking charming as shit.
A dog with a cat's personality.
Is basically a dog you can't pet all the time. Yeah. So like a Shiba Inu, I guess.
I would say
cat with a dog.
I definitely vote cat with a dog personality because it's like I don't have to walk a dog or I don't have to walk a cat. But I mean, dogs are charming. They're awesome. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cat uses a litter box.
That's true.
A dog with a cat's personality eliminates 80% of the reason for owning a dog.
It kind of does. Like the whole point is that you want a dog. We want the unconditional love and the happiness, right?
And obedience and loyalty and training and all that.
All right. I know what Tim's going to say, but question two, would you rather have no candy at Halloween or no turkey at Thanksgiving?
Easy.
Now, keep in mind, you still have both holidays.
Sure.
You don't have candy or you don't have turkey.
Yeah, no turkey.
Candy.
I don't really give a shit about. I don't give a shit about turkey. I don't like turkey.
I would have thought you would say no candy.
Every part of a Thanksgiving meal. You're the
anti-Nick.
Yeah.
Because that's Nick's favorite meal.
Well, yeah. And it's like at Halloween. No, I don't eat a lot of candy, but I can have a couple of candy bars.
Okay. So, I was wrong. I thought
the podcast is over.
Okay. So Tim says no turkey at Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is the single best holiday focused meal there is. And if you don't have like turkey drippings to make your gravy for your mashed potatoes and your stuffing, and it's not dressing because we're in Minnesota, like you're just fucking shit up. And all right. And like, even if you fuck up the turkey, talking about how dry it is or how your uncle can't carve a turkey for shit, that's all a part of the experience and worth it, even at its worst. You can buy candy anytime. In fact, if you wait until a few days after Halloween, you can get all the Halloween candy for cheaper.
Now, see, this is why I'm going to say no turkey at Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you, it's because you can have chicken. You can have – it doesn't have to be turkey. Turkey isn't that great of a meat. But there's other – he's distancing himself from me.
Your marriage just ended. Yes. This is a problem.
So – but at Halloween is the only time that I can find those mini boxes of Nerds.
Oh, yeah.
The little tiny boxes of Nerds, which are the best things. And that is the old, you can't really find them other times.
You're right.
They don't have them available.
You're 100% correct.
And they are the best candy.
You are 100% correct. You cannot find them other times of the year.
I bet I can find them right now.
Oh, Amazon ruins my everything. All right. So question three. Would you rather be able to run at 100 miles per hour or fly at 10 miles per hour?
Run at 100 or fly at 10?
Yes.
Fly at 10.
Fly at 10, why?
I can already run. Not nearly that fast, given. Not even 1/20th that fast.
Yeah, you could probably run about 4 miles an hour, I bet.
Right.
Yeah.
But flying adds a whole other axis of movement to my movement. Running faster just expands the axis I already have.
That's fair. All right, Tim, what do you think?
I think the main reason I'd want to do either one of these is to be able to get to where I want to go faster. So I think running would be the better choice for me.
That's surprising to me, Tim. I would have expected.
Flying is cool. Flying is cool. But if I wanted to, say, travel to Disney World and I could run at 100 miles per hour, I could get to Disney World and, you know, 8 hours.
But if you could fly, once you get to Disneyland, you could go up over the crowds.
Oh, yeah.
And line jump and get to the rides and get in line faster. Yeah. Because 10 miles an hour is twice as fast as any of those.
Then I'd be kicked out for life. So,
but then when you need to get to point A to point B, you can just fly.
That's true. You can go over the crowd.
And when you want to get through security, you can just fly.
That's true.
Molly, you need to break this tie.
It's a good point. All right, I'm going to go with run.
Oh,
and I'll tell you why.
Because you're a runner and you're crazy.
No, because I love eating. And if you're going to run 100 miles an hour, you're going to have to eat a lot.
Oh, you are.
Because it doesn't say that you can just go. You have to run. So you're still burning those calories.
Yeah.
So running at 100 miles per hour would mean I could eat. It's like the Flash, right? I would have to eat a whole lot to be able to make that up.
So wait, let's say the calories required to fly at this speed are the same as the calories required to run.
Then I fly.
Then I fly.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick changes the rules.
Yeah. If the calories are the same, if it's just a matter of, if it's magic, if it's magic, then sure.
Okay.
All right.
Question four.
Would you rather have free Wi-Fi wherever you go or free coffee wherever you go?
Well, that's easy for me. I don't drink coffee.
So it's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
All right.
Free coffee does me no good.
Let's say it's free caffeine. Do you drink caffeine at all?
No, not really.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you think? Do you need some time?
Give me a minute.
All right. Cause mine's going to be Wi-Fi. Because I like coffee, but I like it. If it was like, I only like lattes and I really only like almond milk lattes. So like, I'm kind of a picky bitch about it. So like, if it was like, here's free coffee, it's drip coffee, I'd be like, oh, okay. No, thanks.
Assume it would be free almond lattes.
It's coffee drinks.
Yeah, I'd still go Wi-Fi because I can only really have one coffee a day before my stomach hurts. So
if you got free Wi-Fi, okay. You can play Animal Crossing anywhere.
He drinks a lot of coffee and he uses a lot of Wi-Fi.
I have a practical answer and then I have like the responsible answer.
All right.
The heart answer and the head answer.
Okay.
I would drink coffee from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to sleep if that was a responsible thing to do. The older I get, the more I realize I can't have coffee after 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. or 3 p.m. But I love coffee. I love coffee drinks. I love black, bitter, unsweetened coffee with no cream. I like it with cream. I like it with stevia, whatever.
Frou-frou nonsense. And
I love frou-frou coffee likes drinks. I like it all. I really love I would say being able to make lattes easily at home is a part of my mental health plan for dealing with the quarantine. Hey, that's funny, but it's also like legitimately true. Being able to have access to good coffee at home is really doing some heavy lifting in my head.
That makes sense.
But part of the reason I don't drink an irresponsible amount of coffee when I'm out in the world is that it costs money and I don't have the budget to spend $200 a month on Starbucks.
Sure.
So I would pick, my heart says choose coffee, but my head says Wi-Fi is the more responsible choice.
Okay.
So I would pick Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Question 5. Here we go. Would you rather be able to speak all human languages or speak to, and I'll say with, animals?
All human languages.
All human languages?
If I'm ever given the option in superpowers between speak all languages and anything else, my option is probably going to be speak all human languages.
Okay, Tim, you're also saying speak all human languages?
Yeah, because I don't think animals have much interesting to say.
Right? Like I need to hear a cat's fucking opinion on anything. Well,
you don't need to worry because I will find out and tell you.
Oh, good.
Because I am choosing speak to animals. 100%. Talking to people? Meh. Talking to animals? I talk to animals now and they don't even talk back. They can't even understand me. I prefer to speak to animals already.
I can go anywhere in the world and be able to like get directions to anything I want to do.
Yeah.
It's like
I could go anywhere in the world and ask an animal directions.
More pragmatic than that, Tim. If you spoke every human language fluently, you could easily make $500,000 a year as a translator. Like
you think I'm not making that money translating people's
Yeah, you could
make.
I mean, I'll give Molly the credit there. It's like you could make that much money being a cat whisperer. Absolutely.
Yeah, but like if you're a cat whisperer, okay. So now you know what cat psychology.
Yeah.
How is that going to like broker some peace deals for the UN or something? If you can speak to animals, the people who are going to get the most use out of that are going to be the CIA.
What if dolphins are like, all this time, they've been like, we figured out the answer to war.
Yeah. Dolphins' answer to war is more threesomes. That's dolphins' answer to war.
Well, thank you so much, Joshua. That was a really great – I really love the Would You Rather edition. That's a good time.
That was great. Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to answer our 5 questions, or what I mean by that is if you want to give us 5 questions to answer, send them in to 5questions@geeksithoutgod.com. We are running low again. We've only got 2 left in the hopper. So, yep. Any question, nothing too big, nothing too small. Again, as I've always said, it could be anything you're curious about. And we're very interested. So send those in to us. If you are a Patreon supporter, you get bumped to the top of the queue, or at least the top of the Patreon queue. Say that you're a Patreon supporter in the subject line, and I'll put you right on top there. You want to support us on Patreon, go there and toss us $1, $2, whatever dollars a month, and you would have gotten access to this episode early, sometimes weeks early.
So
and
interesting.
It's entirely possible that by now this video is up on the Patreon site too, because we figured that out. Turns out money fixes problems.
Money fixes everything.
Did you know that if you have money, you can usually just solve your problem?
Money.
I'm an American, so yes.
Yes. All right. That's so much. Thanks so much, everybody. That's been Geeks Without God. We are coming to you still live from under quarantine, stay at home, but we really appreciate that you are all still here with us. This is probably how we're going to record for the foreseeable future. And if this is something that you're not into, sorry, Tennessee. That's just how it goes. But thank you all so much for your support and your kind words, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
I will pay cash money to anybody who can figure out how to get Red to show up on my island.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I really wish that I could have a wooden block bed.